Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. I'll be reading from the NRSV. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Come back to. In a world where we're often filled with fear of how we're just going to get sometimes to the next day, filled with media of a lot of violence, and even in our own lives, just recognizing the own distress that we sometimes feel, or the busyness that we feel. These Psalms remind us to come back and to put things in perspective, and to always have a word of thanksgiving on our tongues. Even in our prayers, if our prayers would even just be one simple phrase of, thank you, God. What if that is just our prayer sometimes, instead of having a list of everything that we take to God, just a simple prayer of, thank you, God. And so as we were singing For the Beauty of the Earth, and that hymn of grateful praise, that is what this psalm is this morning. A hymn of grateful praise. One thing that is fresh on my mind of grateful praise is the Thanksgiving and celebration of Becca and Corey's wedding yesterday. It was a great celebration, and God was there. And that's a hymn of grateful praise that I want to name this morning and to celebrate with their family. So this psalm is, in 116, is fourth in a group of psalms known as the Egyptian Hallel. These psalms were recited at the Passover meal on the eighth day of Passover. So you can imagine the whole community. This isn't just one individual doing this. This is a whole community of people. And they, each year, at the Passover meal, on the eighth day of Passover, they're reciting these hymns over and over and over again of remembering the acts of God's saving work in their life. And they're choosing to give thanks to God. The great psalm scholar Hermann Gunkel describes the occasion on which these songs would have been offered. A person is saved out of great distress, and now with grateful heart, they bring a thanks offering to Yahweh. It was customary that at a certain point in this ceremony, they would offer a song in which they express their thanks. And these group of psalms in this Thanksgiving section of Psalms 113 to 118, the Egyptian Hallel, they all have a certain form to them that is consistent. They all have an introduction, they all have a narrative, and they all have a conclusion. The introduction in these psalms is where the psalmist declares the intention of giving thanks and praising God. Then the narrative section of the body, in which the psalmist tells what has happened and what has prompted these words to come from their mouth. What's the story to be told? And then there's always a conclusion as well, in which the psalmist praises God for all that God has done on the psalmist's behalf. An introduction, narrative, and conclusion. Now, I think in my ninth grade English class, I learned that every good story has an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. I'm not going to pretend I'm always good at holding that together very well. But I think it's pretty cool that that body of good writing we see all the way back in the Psalms. These ancient texts that knew that a good story always has an introduction, a narrative, and a conclusion. We can learn a lot, even in our English classes, from reading the biblical texts. So in this psalm, verses 1 and 2 are the introduction, declaring the psalmist's intentions. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The singer of Psalm 116 is able to love because God has loved the singer. God has heard the request to show favor. And in verse 2, the psalmist declares that because God has inclined God's ear, they will therefore call upon God as long as they live. The phrase inclined God's ear is a wonderful picture in the Hebrew. It literally means in the Hebrew to stretch out the ear. To stretch out the ear to call upon God as long as they live. Verses 3 to 11 are the body of this psalm, the narrative, telling what has happened to the psalmist and what has prompted the words of praise. The psalm describes the events in the psalmist's life that precipitated the hymn. And verses 3 to 4 tell us that the psalmist was inflicted with great distress, including the threat of death, and then cried out in the name of the Lord. And when we think about what the distress is for us today, all of you can think about personal things in your life right now, or things in your family, or things in your community and your neighbors, or the world. It's not hard to think about what distress could be. We all have them, including the very reality of just brokenness that we live in this world. And the psalmist is not trying to just sugarcoat the distress. All you have to do is read other psalms, and they're very, very descriptive of the anguish that they feel. And so this isn't a sermon that tries to say, just forget about the distress and just be happy and thankful. No, you can't sugarcoat that. But I think what this psalmist teaches us this morning is to be aware of the distress and to be able to put it in perspective. Distress in perspective of a larger story of thanksgiving. And then verses 12 to 19 are the conclusion. The psalmist prays to God for what God has done again. And like I said in the beginning, this would have been sung together in community over the Passover. And one of the things that they would have done during the Passover celebration is that they would have raised a cup of wine to God in remembrance of all of God's goodness to their ancestors. And it's very similar even in a celebration. Almost there's sometimes be a toast. I like to make a toast. And we say something that we're grateful for, some way that we want to honor a person. And we all raise a glass to that to celebrate. Well, it's very similar here, and it's actually probably where we got it from, the toast. That is very likely what these people were doing together. They were literally raising a cup of wine to God in remembrance of his saving work. And so I was thinking this morning, what is our introduction? What is our narrative? And what is our conclusion today? What is your introduction, narrative, and conclusion? Well, one story that I think we should name that celebrates God at work in our life is the way that so many people in our congregation, really all of us, work and serve together for the life of the church to happen. For the ministries of this congregation to go on, it takes everybody serving in different kinds of ways. And even your very presence here, showing up, is a way that you serve all of us. Because if your presence was not here, we could not be worshiping together. And so the very fact that you are here is a service to all of us. But there are so many ways that people serve behind the scenes and up front. And it's good to recognize these things, and especially as we're now transitioning and there's some new leadership positions being filled, I think it is helpful to remind us again of all of the different ways people serve. And so here is an introduction, narrative, and conclusion of Witmer Heights, a God story. We give thanks to God because of God's faithfulness to our congregation for many years, and because God is at work in our church. Through the servant love of everybody in our congregation contributing to the ministry of First Deaf. There is many things that need to happen in a small congregation for the life of the church to go on. People serve in many different ways, up front and behind the scenes, and in ways that sometimes nobody even ever knows about because you did an act of kindness that was never made public. What are some of those acts of service that people have contributed to at Witmer Heights? Some of the more things that we see publicly, like contributing to a meditation or a sermon, those that have helped to lead singing through an instrument or through their voice, those that have helped to put songs together through the week and thought about a theme and how the songs fit together. Those that lead worship up front, like reading scripture, children's story, prelude and offertory. Those that make gluten-free bread for communion and go out and buy grape juice and then pour it into the cups. Those that make beautiful visuals with flowers up front and help to decorate our beautiful congregation that happens with many meetings behind the scenes that we can't imagine the time that goes into. Those that plan for special events like Lent and Christmas and prepare different visuals that we need for those. Those that volunteer their times to collect offering and count the offering and then deposit the offerings into the bank. Those that greet people as they arrive. Those that plan worship services. Those that schedule worship leaders and song leaders and offertory leaders and attendants, and have to keep very good spreadsheets to keep track of all that stuff. Those who do early education Sunday school teachers, multi-age facilitators, multi-age Bible story presenters, multi-age activity leaders, junior youth, youth teachers, adult class teachers. Those that help to coordinate the schedule to figure out all those teachers. Those that help to coordinate fellowship hours. Those that assist in planning for Sunday school. Those that help to prepare the bulletin and that gather announcements. Those that photocopy the bulletin and then distribute the bulletin into the mailboxes. Those that run the sound booth, help to make coffee, go out and buy the coffee so that we can enjoy it. Those that set up for a fellowship meal and clean up after a fellowship meal. Those that update signs up front as we're driving by. Those that help to coordinate small groups, be a parent and preschool representative of Mellingers, prepare and deliver meals for people who are going through challenging times. Those that help to coordinate the meals that go out to all the people. Those that provide transportation for people that need to get places and willingly give up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings of precious time to go and serve and provide transportation. Those that clean up a yard, those that make contacts in the neighborhood, those who work with publicity and help prepare for a special event meal like a funeral, those that help with the website and the development, those who work as representatives to Everence and Lancaster Mennonite Conference, and Easter Mennonite Missions, and Mennonite Church USA Missions. Those that keep the church grounds attractive, like mulching and weeding and doing the grunt work that sometimes we don't realize. Those who are a church treasurer those who serve in roles like grow team leader, worship team leader, care team leader, serve team leader, and elder team. And there is probably things that I missed behind the scenes. Those who do the library. I mean, the books that we take for granted that we have here. Bottom line, everybody here serves. And it is absolutely a beautiful picture of God at work in our church. That's a God story. So what's the conclusion to that story? We have people serving in many different ways. Faith formation is happening. And God is being glorified. This is a great story to give thanks for. And what we're doing is enough. It's enough. Sometimes we are hard on ourselves and we always think, well, we could be doing more and more and more and more and more. Yes, but what we have is enough. And it's enough because God is here. And God is at work. There's a great article from Rachel Gerber, who works with Mennonite Church with youth and young adults. And she comes from a very small congregation of about 30 people. And she talks about all the different gifts that it needs to keep that going. But at times feeling the distress of such a small church and how to get everything done. And her word is this. She says, you are enough. You are enough. In everything that you are serving in, it is enough. She says, sometimes we live in this culture of bigger is better, and you have to have more and more and more. But she said, that's kind of a false narrative. Because in these smaller congregations where everybody serves and everybody has to have a role, whether behind the scenes or up front, it allows more connections to happen. Children feel a connection to your congregation as they're able to serve and as they develop a deep sense of belonging, that their presence is not only valued but needed. She says in these small congregations, it's more than enough because faith formation is happening, and that's the most important thing. And so that is a praise and thanksgiving story this morning, Whitmer Heights. Let's pray. God, thank you for this Psalm 116. Thank you for a psalm of thanksgiving. And even in our distress, Lord, we can put it in perspective and still give thanks. And God, this morning I give thanks for the ways that so many people here at Whitmer Heights serve. We thank you, God, that through these acts of service and presence, just showing up, your work is being done and your kingdom, we are seeing a glimpse of your kingdom here. We continue to pray and we continue to give you thanks for this story. Amen.